Hi, you're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz 88.1. This is DJ Maybe, also known as Maya, and I am here with Shannon Shaw of Shannon and the Clams, Hunks and His Punks, and more recently, solo act Shannon Shaw, who released Shannon in Nashville back in June of 2018.
Hello!
Hi, Shannon!
Hi.
So how are you? How's your day going?
I'm really good. Today is insanely beautiful up here in Oakland. The tree outside my house blossomed early, so it's like looks like it's just full of these pink popcorn balls, and I can smell the blossoms in my house, and the sky is blue, which is nice because it's been storming like crazy, which is a good thing, but nothing like waking up to a sunny, beautiful day in the dead of winter.
Did you ever do college radio? I know you went to CCA. Did they have a radio station there?
They didn't have a radio station there, and if they did, I know I would have been all over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they really should have. I think they just didn't have the infrastructure or the space or anything like that.
If you were on college radio, did you have like a DJ name picked out? Waiting in the Wings?
Well, I DJ like at shows and stuff, and my DJ name is DJ Angel Baby. So I'm sure that's what I would have used for the radio.
Yeah, that's after the song by Rosie and the Originals.
Yeah.
Aw. Dream Lover or Angel Baby? Which song is better?
Both songs were so important to me as a little kid. I think that as a kid, I would have said Angel Baby. But now I like, because the Clams cover it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know every in and out. I still totally love that song. But I think I would go with Dream Lover. You know, both songs, like, you can feel, like, their agony and their hope and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Right now in my life, I would say Dream Lover.
Yeah, it's got to take some of the magic away when you perform a song over and over again like that. Do you find that, you know, playing with the Clams, like, these songs that you've had for so many years, do you have trouble playing those songs or getting bored of them? Or
you know, it's a battle with me and Cody, sometimes because I want to play old stuff and he wants to play only new stuff. We have to meet each other halfway, but I mean, of course I want to play new things, but there's old songs we haven't played in forever that people always ask for.
Yeah.
And that I would love to play and like give new life to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm very nostalgic. Those songs aren't even nostalgic to me. They feel like yesterday. It doesn't feel like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 11 years ago or whatever, or 12 years ago? Jeez Louise, I don't even know when that came out. But it's more like I can always tap back in to what I felt when I wrote the song and then perform it genuinely, like it's really coming from me. Whereas mm-hmm. Cody, he's like, oh, that's old, I don't feel that way anymore, which I totally get that, but I'm just not like that. And we definitely both agree on trying to give people, like, the ultimate experience on, like, what you want out of a show,
mm-hmm.
how you wish it would be.
Do you find it annoying when audience members yell out a song that they want to hear?
You know, I don't get annoyed. I feel their pain. You know, I've been there. What I think a lot of fans don't know is not every band wants to play the same song over and over and over again. That's one thing. But then another thing is you usually try and rehearse and have the set for the night ready. So, like, maybe we haven't gotten a chance to go over that song they're dying to hear. And so when they get mad, that makes me bummed because I'm like, no, you just don't understand. It's like we really would butcher it and feel embarrassed if we tried to attempt Cat Party right now or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it in. If I'm hearing someone and they're not being a jerk about it, they're not, like, screaming it over and over and over again, like, not focusing on the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it into consideration if it's something we can play, like maybe try and play it for an encore. Like we've done it hundreds of times probably where we are trying to like, oh shit, I didn't even think about playing. Yeah, you guys, let's do it. No, we've done it before.
Do you have a favorite deep cut to play?
I love playing Troublemaker deep cut. I love playing Oh Louie. I would love to play Hunk Hunt again.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about the Clams a lot, and I think something I want to ask is, do you notice whether or not your songwriting persona changes depending on the project that you're working on, like your solo work or the Clams?
My persona, I don't even know if I have a persona. Everything I do is personal. Mm-hmm. I can't write a song and have it be good unless there is some serious real soul in there. Everything is based off experiences or like feelings that I need to find a way to, you know, put it into words. I mean, same with art. If I'm, because I'm also a painter, if I don't have some genuine feeling that I'm putting into it, it's going to, you can tell, or I can tell, and I'll never feel attached to it. So for every band, it means something. Punks and his punks, I've definitely put some real feelings, but it's also my place to be more fun and like more experimental, more like I feel really like free, and I love playing with Punks and his punks. We're actually going to do a reunion in March, which I'm really, really excited
Yay.
About.
Yay! Yeah, I was going to ask if you guys are still active.
We played John Waters' birthday party last year, which was awesome. We got in Detroit. And then we're playing March 31st in L.A. at Club Scum. So I think it's more just like we're still a band. We just only want to play shows if they're really particularly like strange and fun. And then the solo is songs that just, I was like, this song is not a Clam song. You know, that's all I know.
Yeah.
This is not a Clam song. I don't even know how to like force this to be a Clam song. This is just its own thing. And then eventually, I mean, I always told myself I'd have a solo project, but really never thought it would be anything like this. I thought it'd be like super lo-fi, crazy simple, like really just focusing on songwriting and vocals and melody and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be these like huge, fully developed things, that was just like a really different end product. And the songs that I wrote all, about half of them to myself, or wrote them before I got to the studio. And they were all like really tender, super, super sensitive. I mean, Clams, that's like my baby and my heart and my soul. And these were just like a different, they just didn't fit in with Clams. And then half the songs on the In Nashville record are collaborative between me and Dan and the songwriter Pat, or me and Dan and the songwriter Bobby Wood. So it was very, I've never done that before. I mean, Cody and I collaborate in our own way, but sitting with no idea and just sitting in front of like the guy who played piano with Elvis and wrote the ba 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 on Sweet Caroline and stuff like that, like, and then with Dan Auerbach, was just intimidating and really informed the songwriting in a different way.
Because you were more vulnerable in this space with these people.
I felt so incredibly vulnerable, which is funny because they, like, don't get it. They don't understand at all why I would feel that way. It was, like, so scary. Even though they're the nicest guys,
yeah,
it just was, like, I was so out of my element. I mean, even back in the day, songwriting with Cody, I would work forever on one little demo. And when I'd show it to Cody, I'd be, like, having a panic attack, like, sweating, super red face, stopping and starting over again. And then I'd play him a recording and I'd turn it off. It was just so crazy uncomfortable.
What did you feel was important to put into your solo album?
Well, I definitely wanted to push myself and just see what I could do writing-wise that would be different. And, I mean, I guess I did want to get scared. Like, it was so uncomfortable. But part of me was like, no, you have to do that. To grow, I have to be scared and put myself out there and try something different. So I really hoped to grow in some way, and I really think that I did. I think being, like, forced into that situation where I don't have anything prepared ahead of time, I'm with these two men I don't know, who have, like, these really, like, impressive resumes, you know, like, I just had to fake it till I make it.
I think that one of my favorite parts about that album is how tender you get and you still hold on to your certain vocal stylings that bring a hard edge to it. Did that come naturally?
Yeah, I think it's like my emotions totally inform the sound I end up making. It's not planned. You know, I might be inspired by a song I heard, like Angel Baby. Like, maybe I'll listen to that song and I'll be like, oh, it would be cool if I had a song that had a passage where I'm just doing the, ooh, I love you. Like, just using your voice as a sound and you're not making words. So maybe I'll get inspired by another sound, but I never have a plan. It's always just organic. Which I'm really happy that that's what my mind is doing. That's what I'm creating, and I'm grateful.
I think of Freddy's and Teddy's. The little, like, bark that accompanies actual sadness that this song is portraying. That's my favorite part of that song. Why are you wasting my time? I'm sad. Why am I crying over you? That kind of vibe is something I really, really like.
Thank you. Yeah, that song was funny because I basically walked into a room and Dan and Richard Swift, who passed away this fall, he and Dan were just, like, jamming on this, like, funky groove. And I was on a break. And Dan was like, come get on the mic. And I really didn't want to just because it was, like, boys club. They were having fun. And I don't know how to jam. Jamming is so intimidating to me. But I was like, you know what? Don't say no. Just cut loose. Fake it till you make it. And I really was going through that at that time. I was sort of dating someone that was driving me nuts. Because, yeah, like the song says, it was like, how long am I supposed to like sit around and wait for this to get better? He acted like he was like so crazy about me, but his actions were not matching. I hate dating. Dating is so annoying. That had been on my mind all day that like I was having my time wasted. I'm a busy person. So anyway, that is how it came about. It was like pissing me off as I was coming up with the lyrics and going through the song. I always kind of think no one really cares what the songs are really about. Most people interpret it. They're like projecting their own issues onto the songs, which I think is really cool, you know, because it's soothing them and like whatever they need. And sometimes it's subconscious, sometimes it's not. But there's some songs where I really wish someone knew what it was about and that someone would ask me. And it's like, oh man, everyone's going to think this is a love song about some guy who broke up with me, which it's like, honestly, that is not that many of my songs. Everyone assumes that that's what they're about. On Oh Louie, that was about the horrible breaking up of a friendship. That's basically the only serious falling out I've ever had in my life. And that was super scarring. That the album is about the friend that we had a horrible falling out with. Mm-hmm. I have lots of songs about her on there.
I want to ask you if you have a current musical mood board right now. Songs that you're feeling today. Feeling this week?
I have been making playlists and I'm actually obsessed right now. Do you want to hear some of the songs I've been listening to?
Yeah.
I have never been a Bruce Springsteen fan, but then I heard this song, I'm Going Down, recently, and it's like, I want the Clans to cover it so bad. It just, it like feels good and it makes you want to dance, but it has this tinge of sadness. And I heard this song the other day called Forever Walks a Drifter, by the Monzas, M-O-N-Z-A-S. It's like if you could take Danzig and put him in like a weird back secret smoking lounge, like if a tiki bar had a secret room for only important customers, and Danzig was back there in a cloud of... And I've been really into a bunch of cumbia music. Lately, been just listening to as much as I can find. I just got into the Shocking Blue, which actually I listened to Shocking Blue a long time ago, but I just heard another song that's making me like delve deep into more of their music. And I'm really into this song called Blossom Lady. I love how it's written, how many parts it has. You have to listen to these after this. And I don't know if you or your listeners are Eric Clapton fans, but earlier band Derek and the Dominoes has a song called Bell Bottom Blues. But like, I just keep thinking everyone knows because it sounds like this classic song, and I keep playing for people because it's stuck in my head at all times. I've been definitely listening to that several times a day. Also, one last, I got into Sonny and Cher, which I never ever cared about them before because it was just like, I Got You Babe was on oldies radio all the time, clogging up my song, and I always thought that song was boring. Sonny and Cher are so friggin' cool. I'm on a journey to get as into them as I can. Little Man, that's the song I want you to listen to. It's incredible. I recently heard this guy called William Onyebor, O-N-Y-E-A-B-O-R. And he has this incredible album called Who is William Onyebor? And he's an incredibly mysterious man with some crazy music.
Okay, I just have to say that leather, metal, and steel, when I listen to it, I imagine a teen angel coming down, like in Greece, just like walking down the steps and like telling me how to deal with my woes and like get in the car and drive.
That's so cool.
So you're actually my teen angel, and I hope you know that.
I'm so glad to be someone's teen angel. It's all I've ever wanted.
And it is true.
That is like one of my favorite songs on the album. I'm really glad you like that one.
Do you have any advice for musicians that, I guess, are struggling to collaborate or are struggling to see what they're doing as legit? Do you have any Teen Angel advice?
Yes, Teen Angel here. I've got a lot of advice. What I wish I knew back then that I know now, you cannot let fear stop you. You have to, like, harness fear and ride it like a wild beast and travel with it. It's either going to keep you down and keep you from accomplishing stuff, or it's going to drive you to do amazing things. And I think it's so much easier said than done to be like, don't let fear stop you, but just don't. You can't spend forever talking yourself into it. You have to just make the jump, you know, because you're wasting your own time. And time is so crazy precious. Everyone says that, but you really, the longer you wait and hem and haw and worry and worry and worry, you're wasting time. You're wasting other people's time. You're especially wasting your own time. And if you're afraid of, like, being judged because what you're doing is not technically good, that's where I came from, was, like, not knowing how to play bass, not really knowing how to sing. I started late, started at, like, 25, and being so embarrassed because I'm playing shows with really talented, gifted people who'd been working, writing and playing for years. And here I am doing a bad job, not playing well technically, getting reminded of that by every idiot man, like, every few minutes, and then realizing, like, oh, wait, I'm here playing a show. They could have had anyone play the show. I'm here. You have to remind yourself of your value. And that's kind of what I had to do, is like, oh, no, I have value. I deserve to be here. I have a message. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm putting my soul into it. You know, lots of people can make music. Not everyone has a message. Not everyone can reach people.
Do you, after so many years of songwriting, how do you keep it fun? Like, how do you still have fun with it? Is it in the process, or is it through new people that you're collaborating with?
Well, it's all of that. I think really staying genuine has been really, really important by, you know, fresh material. Like, I'm writing songs that are real, they're about something. And so then I'm always doing something fresh and working with people who I love, and we lift each other up and make each other laugh. Like, that's so important. Don't be in a band with someone who's a jerk. Collaborate with people that make you feel good and make you want to try more new stuff and listen to different kinds of music. Stay inspired by searching for things. And I think it's really good to take breaks from music or take breaks from the stuff you do all the time and do something completely different. Because when you come back to it, it's going to feel so much more important to you.
Thanks for talking to me.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was really fun. I appreciate thought out process kind of questions.
This has been an interview with Shannon Shaw. You're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz 88.1. This is DJ Maybe signing off.